chapter 10. Studying the life of David, the heart of David specifically. Trying to find out about this man and his heart. That the only man in all of the Word that the Bible says, that the Holy Ghost says, had a heart for God. It was a man after God's own heart and wanted to do all of God's will. We're trying to learn about this heart and cause our hearts to be conformed to the heart like David had, which was the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came through the lineage of who? Saul or David? David. He came through that lineage. He had a heart like David. I want that kind of a heart. I want a heart for God. This is the ninth message, I believe, that we have done on this heart of David. And today we're going to changing epochs. Today we're going to talk about David, the king of Judah at Hebron. We've talked about the different life epochs of David. We broke them down into five, if you remember. His first anointing was when he was a youth. He was a child shepherd. He was a boy at Bethlehem. Two chapters are given to that teaching, and we've talked about that. The second epoch of David's life is when he served Saul at Gibeah. Three chapters are given that. The third epoch of David's life is the outlaw in the wilderness, and we spent a lot of time in there. We had to, because there was 12 chapters given to that. 12 chapters, 17 years of David's life is spent in the wilderness. A long time. The fourth thing that we're now looking at, which is the second anointing, is David, king of Judah, at Hebron. Three chapters. And the last thing that we'll look at when we close out this message is David, the king of all of Israel, at Jerusalem. And it's 21 chapters. 21 chapters. Was God through with him when he killed Goliath? Was he through with him when he left Saul? Was he through with him when he was an outlaw in the wilderness? Is he going to be through with him? Is he his anointed king of Judah? No. Because you see, he's got to go to the throne. Is God going to be through with the church when Luther finally figured out it's just by faith I'm saved? Was God through with the church then? Was that all God had to say? Was God through with the church when the century turned to 1900s and the baptism of the Holy Ghost began to come again and be taught and people began to receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost? Was God through with the church then? No. That's the two anointings. There's another anointing waiting to put on the church. And that's where we're going, and that's where the church is going. Today, though, I want to move to the epoch of the fourth chapter of David's life. He's the king of Judah at Hebron. Now, we bring these things into our lives. We look at these epochs as in individual lives. We look at these epochs as Christ's work and Christ's ministry. But we also need to see these things, and the way we probably brought them the most is the epochs of the church as she moves into dominion. Don't look at me. You know that. Is the church going to move into dominion? Who is going to rule with a rod? The church. Read it in Galatians and in Revelation. So give them a rod of iron to rule. And they're not going to rule in a chair in heaven. Where are they going to rule? On the earth. Revelation 5:10. Ruling on the earth with Christ. The church will move into a rule and a reign of dominion. That's what David did. That's what the church is doing. That's what she's doing. Now, you may not recognize that and see that. You may see us as whipped. But I promise you, within two generations, you're going to see this thing completely turned around. Because there's going to be more of us than there are of them. They're killing theirs. Just like in Egypt. Pharaoh woke up one day. They'd been throwing their babies in the Nile. Pharaoh woke up one day. He says, my goodness, there's more of them than there are of us. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. So Saul died. Is Saul going to die? So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. A couple of things I want to point out here. I just wanted to point out because before David can come to Hebron, Saul dies. Now, Saul's kingdom is still going on. Ishbosheth is going to be anointed king by Abner. And all that's coming. We'll get into all that typologies and stuff. But what we need to know is that Saul's dying and Saul is dead. And the reason that Saul is dead is, number one, he did not keep the word of the Lord. And number two, he made inquiry of a witch. Or we could say he received counsel from the wrong sources. Is that right? Witchcraft. He received counsel from the wrong sources. So the thing that I really want us to point out here is God killed him. I don't know how that fits with your theology. That's not what the Bible says. God killed him. How many understand and realize that it's important to keep the word of the Lord? It's important who you get your counsel from. I get the wrong counsel, it could be witchcraft. God will get me for that. I don't want to talk about God getting us. That's not my message today. I'm just pointing out that God got Saul. So it's important to see that it's necessary to keep the word of the Lord. And number two, we need to watch out who we get counsel from. Now, Saul's dead. I had to get rid of Saul to move into Hebron. Okay? Now, if you will, turn with me to 2 Samuel. That's backwards. Chapter 2. Interesting thing about David is that he mourns Saul. Mourns Saul and Jonathan, and you can read that in chapter 1 of 2 Samuel. He loved Jonathan, and he respected Saul. Last week we talked about, touch not God's anointed. It's not our place to touch Saul. There's a lot of other enemies that we can battle with rather than battling with Saul. What is Saul? Saul is religion mixed with flesh. Religion mixed with flesh. People that won't move and won't go on with God because their flesh won't let them. That's Saul. God wants a people that go on with him. God wants a people that move with him. I want to read 2 Samuel chapter 2. I was going to do a whole lot in this chapter, but I'm only going to get a few verses. I want to read verses 1 through 4. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. So David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David brought up his men who were with him, each with his household, and they lived in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there anointed David king over the house of Judah. Let's pray. Father God, my Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I ask you to guide us and lead us now as we walk through this word. Lord, we don't want to be like Saul. We want to obey your word. Therefore, we must understand it. You said we need no man to teach us because we have the Holy Ghost who gives us unction, who teaches us all things. So I ask you now, Holy Spirit, to go forth into the hearts of people. Prepare the heart, Lord, so that they'll hear what you're saying today. As you said in the book of Revelation, Holy Spirit, hear, anoint the ear so that it can hear what you're saying to the church. Lord, I ask you to use me as a willing vessel, not a harsh, condemning vessel, but as a loving vessel to pour out those things that you've shown me, to pour out those things which I believe it's time for this fellowship to hear. I ask you now, Lord, to be with us. Prepare the hearts, anoint the ears, and open the eyes so that we can see what you're saying. And then, Lord, use me. In the name of Jesus, we ask it, and we all say in agreement, amen. Amen. I want to bring out several principles. The thing I want to talk about is the church being anointed king of Judah. I want to talk about the church universal being anointed king of Judah, but I specifically want to talk about this church being anointed king of Judah. I want to specifically talk about a church that I feel like God is going to raise up in an area to take control and dominion over it. What does it mean when something is king over something? He rules something. He has dominion over something. And I truly believe that the Lord wants a church in every area that takes dominion over that area, that dictates if you can or if you cannot pray at a ball game, that dictates what's wrong and what's right, and brings forth the moral issues of what God is saying, not what man is saying. And I believe that the Lord wants a church like that in this area. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. If it's not us, let's pray that one will come that will be that issue and that church in this land. Now that's what we've got to start seeing. So that's what I want to talk about, the church being anointed king of Judah. Now, the first thing that we see as we read this passage is it says that David inquired of the Lord. Before David moved, he prayed. He said, "Shall I?" Now, do we pray enough? Let's go ahead and establish that issue. Do we pray enough? Do we sometimes and oftentimes move without asking the Lord, "Shall I?" Sure. We're all guilty of this, and so was David for many, many years. In fact, it wasn't until you read in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2 was the first mention where David inquired of the Lord. Now, David had gone through many years and many heartaches and many bad times before he finally learned to inquire of the Lord. And I really believe that the church has to go through a lot of hard times before we'll finally come to the place where we really need God's guidance. You see, the reason that we don't inquire of the Lord and then listen to what He says and then respond to what He says is because we're afraid He won't tell us to do what we want to do. But David had learned that he needed to inquire of the Lord. He had gone to Nob and he tried to use Goliath's sword. Remember that? 10-foot sword. And he took that thing to Gath where he spit on his beard and defiled his manhood. And then he went to Adullam where the Lord began to make him a leader. Then to Moab where he learned to honor his father and his mother. And finally at Hareth where he learned God's mercy because of Doeg the Edomite. David had been through all of those things and all of those times, plus Saul throwing the spear at him, plus the heartbreak of the relationship with Jonathan. He had been through all those hard times before he finally learned to inquire of the Lord and say, "Shall I?" And you and I are just like that, aren't we? We got to go through a lot of heartaches and a lot of hard times before we finally learn to inquire of the Lord. But I don't want to stop it there because, you see, I see more here than just David inquiring of the Lord. I also see that he listened once he inquired. He inquired, but then he listened for an answer. Now, some of us are good about praying, but few of us are good about listening. We're good talkers, right? We like to talk. We don't like to do a whole lot of listening. David had learned not only to pray and inquire, but to sit and listen. Now, sometimes you won't get an answer immediately when you inquire of the Lord. It may take a little while. God may have to use somebody else to get you the answer. But we want it right then, don't we? We're an instant society. We have instant grits. We want instant hamburgers. We're an instant society, and we want our answer instantly. But David had learned that if he would wait on the Lord, that the Lord would renew his strength. And David learned to inquire and then wait, but he didn't stop there. He didn't just pray and ask and wait for an answer. He got his answer, and then he responded to his answer. There's three dimensions of inquiring of the Lord, three dimensions of prayer. Make your petitions made known unto Him. Then listen so that your heart will hear and grasp what He's saying. But then thirdly, you respond to what He told you to do. Is that right? All three of those are prayer. All three of those are involved in our prayer life. Now, if I was to ask you, and I'll be honest, and I'll use myself as an example. When I pray, I get through, I say amen, I stand up and I walk off. Is anybody else do that besides me here? So we need to learn to wait for the answer. And then once we've gotten the answer, we need to respond to the answer. So the first thing that it's going to take for the church to become the anointed king in Hebron, for a church, any church, this church, whatever church God puts His hand on, whatever church it is, the first thing you'll see about that church is it will pray. If this church has a weakness, do you know what it is? We don't pray. I hope you pray at home. I hope you pray at home. But we sure aren't praying here. I can't get the elders or some of the elders, and I can't get the leadership to come to prayer. And I'm not beating you with bad stuff. I'm really not. But it's an issue. We got to pray. We got to find time. We got to make time. We got to come to the house of the Lord and pray. If we're going to go on with God, if we're going to be that church, the first thing we've got to understand that there has never been a move of God without prayer. We've got to learn to inquire of the Lord. We've got to learn to listen. And we've got to learn to respond to what He says. Amen? Amen? Amen. Second thing I see. David went to Hebron with his two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail. Now, I've already taught this. I mentioned it, at least. I haven't necessarily taught it, but I mentioned it so that we could grasp the principle. But the wives of David are a type of the bride of Christ. Okay? The wives of David are a type of the bride of Christ. There's many facets, or there's many members of the bride of Christ. Is that correct? David had eight wives. Eight wives. Now, I'm not justifying David's problems, but he had eight wives, and I believe that that's a type of the church. I believe that we could see it in a couple of dimensions. First of all, it's the members that come together. I think that we could look at it in the denominational realm as it finally coming together. I think we can see it in a lot of different realms, but the church has got to come together. There may be eight facets, and it may be many members, but it's going to be one. So that's what I want to bring here. He had eight wives, all an aspect of the totalness of the bride of Christ. But at this time, he only has two wives. But the neat thing is that moving with him to Hebron. I have a tendency to believe that the bride of Christ, which is the church, is not moving with him. Do you agree with that? Do you think that that's... The church needs to be moving with the Lord.
Amen?
Amen? Is she? No, we get cemented in our doctrines. We get cemented in our denominations. And he wants to move and we want to sit. Because what he wants to do doesn't fit my doctrine. That's not going to happen for the church that moves into Hebron. The church that becomes the anointed of the Lord in this area, you're going to find, will move with him. We'll go with him. We'll flow with him. We'll submit to him. This time he only has two wives. That's only 25% of what she's going to be. So the church that moves into Hebron is not going to be the matured church yet. Okay? But she's coming together. Amen? There's more than one. There's two. There's going to be eight. I look for the day when there's more than just one of us here. There's more than just one work. Other works will start coming together. And we'll go to Hebron. But until we start seeing the church following David, until we start heavenly David, until we start seeing the church coming together in unity, we're never going to Hebron. We're still in the wilderness. Is that all right?
Amen.
As this church begins to move into this realm, we will see, number one, prayer. Number two, unity. As the bride begins to come together and move with Jesus into his kingdom. Okay? Third thing I see. David brought up men. And these men brought up their households. Is that there? David brought up the men that were with him. And they brought up their households. Listen, you can say what you want to say. Get mad at me if you want to. You're not going to do this thing without men. You're not going to do this thing without manhood. You're not going to do this thing without a man that understands what fathers is, because it says he brought up his household. And fathers are the ones that bring up their household.
Yeah.
You got to have men to bring the kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't care if you like it. That's what it's going to take to bring in the kingdom of God. Men that know how to act like men. Men that know how to bring up their households and nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what it's going to take. And David brought them up. The church that moves into Hebron is going to raise up men. The church that's going to be the power and the source of power and rule this area is going to have men in it. Men that know what a man is. Men that rule their households biblically. Now, I'm not talking about lording over it. I'm talking about loving it as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Talking about covering it, protecting it. That's what I'm saying. There are things that men must learn to do that we're not doing yet. And they bring up their households. They bring up their households. To move into Hebron, stable men must be brought up in the church. David does not go in alone. Is that right? There must be godly men. These men must understand fatherhood because they bring up their households. Now, some of you women have lost husbands. We need to pray for you. You see, that's some of the things we need to be here praying about. You see? Some of you women have lost husbands, but then some of you women need husbands. That's what we need to be here praying about. How many of you women that don't have husbands would say amen to that? You're bashful. How many of you women whose husband is not yet saved, not yet serving the Lord, would say amen to that? Amen. You see? We need to do all we can do to bring these men into the kingdom of God and bring these men to these women that need this covering. And then thirdly, some of you men need to be fathers. And being a father is more than having babies. And you need to bring up your households. So to go into Hebron, we must, number one, pray. Number two, come together in unity and follow Jesus. And number three, raise up men and households. Now, do you agree those things must happen?
Amen.
They must happen. The fourth verse, and the first word in that fourth verse, in the NASV, I don't know what King James says, and I do know what King James says. I don't know what NIV says. But the NASV, it's there. I looked it up. It's there. It says, then. Then. After these three things, then the men of Judah came and anointed David king. Then they saw something. There was something there that the men of Judah saw in David that they wanted him to be king. There's going to be a church that is raised up that people are going to see the men, the households, the proper order, the proper way of worship, the proper way of having church. It's going to be fun. They're going to see this thing and they say, hey, we want you to rule over us. You've got the answers. It works. Then they'll come. Number four, the fourth point that I'm bringing is then. Then the men of Judah came and anointed David king. It's always then. It's always after something. It's after David learned to inquire. He learned how to pray. He learned how to listen and he learned how to respond. It was after David brought his brides together and then they followed him. And it was after the men and households are raised up. Then David was anointed king of Judah. We've been sitting around waiting for this thing just to happen. Oh, it's just going to happen. We've been waiting 2,000 years for it just to happen. And what's been happening? The devil's been taking so much away from us. So much away from us. Got us now, we can't even pray at football games. Got us now where our children can't pray in school. There has to be a church raised up. We are sitting and waiting for it just to happen. We've been sitting and waiting for it to happen for 2,000 years. It will never happen without prayer. It will never happen without coming together in unity and following Him. And it will never happen without raising up men and raising up households. It just won't happen, folks.
Amen.
We've been waiting for it just to happen for 2,000 years. Forget it. If we're not willing to pray, if we're not willing to get in unity, and if we're not willing to be men and raise up our households, we're going to sit and sit and sit. Is that right? This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is the gospel. The Lord wants people who will do these things, and He's going to bring in His kingdom. The men of Judah came and anointed David king. The people of David's area recognized that David should rule. Do you think that the church should rule? Or is it just kind of a thing just sitting here waiting to escape? I don't find that in scriptures. What I find is that the church is going to be an entity that will destroy hell. I find out that when He comes again, that the bride of Christ is going to be spotless and blameless without wrinkle. That there's going to be a holy people. There's going to be people that have obeyed His word. There's going to be a people that have moved with Him. And it's when these people in this area recognize that a church in this area has the answers, it will come, join up with that church and say, rule with us. Now, see, we're waiting. What our theology and our doctrine has been for so long is that we're just waiting for God to come again, for Jesus to come again, and make it all right. It's just not going to be that way. It's just not going to be that way. That's deceit. Let's look at Ephesians, and I'm closing. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you to note the time, and I'm closing. Tell me how good I'm doing. No, this is I'm close, man. I only got just a few more things to say. 2 weeks in a row is unreal. Ephesians 3:10. I want you to see as we read this passage that there will be a church in the earth that will have the answers. There will be a church in the earth that will reveal the manifold wisdom of God. And the church has no answers today. We don't even know the questions. But there will be. There will be. Ephesians 3 and verse 10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known through what? The church. What will the wisdom of God come through? The church. Well, what's He going to bring His wisdom through if He takes His church out of here? You see, it's got to come through the church. The church has got to be the establishment in the earth that converts this earth and covers the world with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea.
Hallelujah.
It's got to be.
Hallelujah.
And the church will come forth with the wisdom of God, and it will begin to reveal that wisdom to rulers.
Right.
Isn't that what it says? And the principalities. I see two dimensions there. I see the natural and the spiritual. Anything that's in the heavenly realm, anything that's in the spiritual realm, the church is going to come against it. The church is going to establish it correctly. And the wisdom of God will come through His church. There will be a church in Lafayette, Georgia. Listen to me. It may not be this one. It may be. I pray to God it is. But there will be a church that will pray, listen, and then move on what God said. There will be a church that will have unity. And there will be a church that will raise up godly families.
Hallelujah.
And will be an example of what it's supposed to be a Christian. That's the problem with the world and the church today. The world really can't see much difference of being a Christian. Only thing Christians have to do is get up on Sunday morning and go to church. They live the same, do the same things, talk the same way. But there's going to be a people, and there's going to be a church, a holy and a blameless people, a people that is like Him when He comes. Is that what the Bible says? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "We know this, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Therefore, purify yourselves, even as He is pure." He wants a pure people. He wants an exemplified people. He wants a people that will show forth the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
What is the glory of the man? The woman. What is the woman of Christ? His church, His bride. And she'll be a glorious thing, folks.
Praise God.
She'll be a spotless and a glorious and a pure thing.
Hallelujah.
She'll be something that people can look at and they'll think they're seeing that city in Revelation 21 and 22. And behold, I, John, saw the Lamb's bride, Jerusalem. You'll be so good looking, you'll look like you got gold streaks. You'll be so good looking, you'll look like pearls. You'll have out of you coming a river. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow a river. You'll give forth fruit in its season, and nations will be healed. That's the glorious church. That's the church here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 that's going to reveal the wisdom of God. This church, our church, is still in the wilderness. Do you believe that?
Yes.
See, I know it is because we're not doing those three things.
Right.
We're in the wilderness. We're somewhere around Adullam. We're still gathering unto Him. We're still getting people saved. And nothing wrong with getting people saved. Please understand me. But there's more to it than getting saved. I was listening to the radio. 5 minute closing already. I was listening to the radio or something anyway, and a guy was talking about how he was listening to the radio and how he hates to listen to radio preachers. He says, for 2 hours I listened to the radio, and he says the first thing everybody wants to do is talk about getting saved. He says, and that's glorious, nothing wrong with getting saved. He says, the next thing they want to talk about is dying and going to heaven. He says, now that could be arranged if they really wanted to go. Nobody wants to die and go to heaven. So there's something between initial salvation and dying and going to heaven that God wants us to do. It is to become a people that rule and reign with Him in the earth.
Hallelujah.
But one day, and it's not too distant, God will kill Saul and give the kingdom to David. David is the one. David is the church who, number one, inquires of the Lord. Number two, is coming together in unity. And number three, is raising up godly men and families. Then we'll be recognized as the people of Judah, the people of Lafayette. They'll come and they'll say, "You've got the answers. Rule over us." We're in the wilderness, folks. Let me say this. We're in the wilderness. We're somewhere around Adullam. But praise God, we're not just getting saved. Praise God, we've left the little shepherd boy. We've left that first anointing, haven't we? Haven't we? Okay. And praise God, we're in the wilderness, but we're not serving Saul. Right? We're not in the house of Saul. We're not in a religious, fleshly thing. Praise God. Praise God. We're in the wilderness, but we're not at Nob. We're not trying to fight with Goliath's sword. We're not at Gath. We're not messing with the Philistines and defiling our personhood. There's a lot of things that we've already come through. I'm wanting you to see we're moving. We're not where we're going, but we're not where we've been. But we're going. God's taking us. God's leading us. And God's showing us. Very shortly, we'll be praying here a night during the week. I don't know when. I don't know how. We're going to have an elders meeting, I hope, Thursday night. And this will be one of the issues that we talk about. We have got to pray, folk. If you heard anything that I've said today, please hear. We've got to pray. We've got to pray for these husbands that aren't saved. We've got to pray for these women that don't have husbands. We've got to pray. We've got to come together and pray that the Spirit of God will lead our school systems to protect our seed until we can do something different. We've got to pray. We've got to come against principalities and powers. We've got to come together. As you read in, I think it's Acts chapter 4, where it says, "The place was shaken." I want prayer meetings like that, don't you?
Amen.
I want to experience the power of God.
Amen.
I know we're moving. I know I'm not where I was. But I know I'm not where I'm going. I know I haven't yet fulfilled all that I'm called to do. I'm somewhere in that wilderness area. And I know that Hebron is waiting. And I know that God's raising a people. It's going to rule an area, rule a city. And he's going to put that corporate people together and rule all of Israel. And the kingdom of God will expand to its greatest dimensions, and the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Heads bound. You don't know Jesus Christ today. You don't know this King of glory that I'm talking about. You don't know what it is to be in the army of God. You don't know what it is to experience what we've experienced here today, this joy, this praise, this worship, this acclamation of celebration that we have when we come together. You don't know that. You don't know what it's like to experience a life and a walk with Jesus Christ. You may think you do, but you really don't. You know you don't. Your heart's telling you right now that you don't. If that's you today, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. You want to know Jesus Christ in a fuller and richer dimension. You want Him to be Lord and King of your life. Good. Nobody here. Everybody's saved. Okay. Then you'd say, "Delbert, what I really want to be is a part of that glorious church. I want to be a part. I want to be pure. I want to be a part of that church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I want to be a church, part of that church that follows Him wherever He goes. I want to be a part of that church that is led and guided through the wilderness times, through Hebron, all the way to the throne. I want to be a part of that church." And if that's you today, and you're hearing what the Spirit's saying, if that's you today, would you lift your hand? Amen. Amen. Everybody. Okay. That's where we're going, and that's what it's about. Father God, we love You, and we bless You, and we praise You. We thank You, and we magnify You. Hallowed be Thy name. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom what? Come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those, Lord, who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you, and we'll see you tonight.